And the great story of 2 Kings chapter 6. The hostile plans of the Arameans were foiled several times by the supernatural powers of Elisha, the prophet of God. The king of Aram became greatly concerned as the repeated failure of his best laid plans kept bugging him. And he concluded that such consistent lack of success could not be a mere coincidence. King Benadab suspected that one of his top officials was guilty of treasonous information leaks. After inquiry with his servants, he was reassured that the prophet of Israel named Elisha was capable of hearing his private conversations even in his bedroom. So after he got this information and found out where Elisha lived, at Dothan, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. The next morning, the servant of Elisha arose early, and he went outside. And as he went outside, he looked around, and there's this great army all around, surrounding them. And this is his exclamation. He said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He was full of anxiety about what in the world is going to happen to us. And Elisha answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now, Elisha must have surmised, by his servant's reaction, that just words were not going to be enough to calm the anxiety of his servant. So he prayed to God to give him a visual reassurement. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire that surrounded surrounded Elisha. Now, I don't want to give away any more detail, because we are going to be talking about that more extensively down the line. But here's the thing. God, as he had always promised, upheld the righteous that day, and there was a very favorable ending to the story. And you know, we have lots of stories in the Bible that reinforces us, don't we? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 through 8, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?' Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow concerning the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Now just think about that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Since we know that God does not change, why would anyone think he would do less for us than he did for those of ancient times? So our curriculum for our the Bible classes that we have, in the last year or so, we have been enlightened to see what God has done for those in the past who loved him and kept his commandments despite their failures along the way. So, we have so many stories in the Old Testament that reinforces the idea that God will take care of us. Our natural tendency is to look beyond today and stress about tomorrow, which we cannot control or do anything about. That's just kind of the nature of mankind, isn't it? Jesus knew we'd be like this. That's why he addressed this issue all through the Bible. This is why he said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Jesus said that in Matthew 6 and 25. Then he goes on to ask a rhetorical question. He said, "And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" Now the old King James says, "Who can add a cubit to his stature?" Well, the obvious answer is we can't, can we? You can't make yourself taller, or you can't add time to your life by just thinking about it. But on the contrary, actually, worry and anxiety has the ability to shorten your lifespan. It creates stress and weakens our immune system. Now, when we comfortably attend church and you're sitting there in your pew and everything in your life seems to be going well for you, it's easy to think and to say, God will take care of everything. But how is our frame of mind when someone close to us dies? The doctor gives us a bad report. We face financial problems. We lose our job. Someone betrays us. We have been devastated by a natural disaster. A drunk driver has crucially injured our spouse. And I could just keep going on and on and on with this list. So I ask you, is it not at these moments in life our natural reaction for fear and doubt begins to creep in? Of course it is. It happens to all of us, doesn't it? That is why it is imperative that we not allow Satan to influence us to doubt what we know to be true. God takes care of the righteous. We cannot doubt. Romans 8, chapter verse 18, and then verse 26 through 28. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, if you're like me, when you've read and pondered the severe test God allowed Job to go through, I'm convinced that God allowed Satan to put righteous Job to a very severe test so that his story could be written and told to billions of people who would come after him. And we're still reading that story, aren't we? And we're still amazed at how Job was able to get through what he did, and God allowed that to happen. But think of the good that it brings to billions of people that came after. Success breeds confidence, and we can be assured that regardless of the test we receive in life, anxiety and worry does not have to rule over us. Righteous Job was very nicely taken care of by God when the test came to an end. So he will do for you as well if you practice righteousness. Maybe not in the way you envisioned it, maybe not in the time frame that you have in mind, but settling this truth in your heart is key to the very foundation of your faith, isn't it? Absolutely it is. It will make all the difference in how anxious moments may influence your attitude in life. And as a Christian, we need to be listening to who? Listening to the world or listening to Jesus? And obviously, we know the answer. We need to be listening to Jesus, who brings to light everything that we need to know that leads to peace and comfort in a world of constant change and turmoil. How many faithful Bible characters can you think of that didn't face some extreme challenge during their life? Just go through your mind and you think of all these great men of faith that we read about. And every one of them had all kinds of challenges, didn't they? Some of those challenges were brought on by their own doing, but many by circumstances out of their control. They just had to face them, didn't they? And God gave them the tools and the wherewithal to how to face those to keep from going crazy. If you have ever spent much study in the book of Psalms, one can't help but notice how much anxiety and grief David's enemies gave him. Psalms 3, 1 and 2. Here's some examples. A psalm by David when he fled from his son Absalom. O Lord, look how my enemies have increased. Many are attacking me. Many are saying about me, even with God on his side, he won't be victorious. I'm sure he had to hear a lot of negative things. Psalms 5 and 2. Pay attention to my cry for help, my King and my God, because I pray only to you. Psalms 25:19. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Well, it would be missing the mark if I talked about anxiety without speaking about prayer. How did David calm his fearful anxieties? Through prayer, didn't he? Was it not through much prayer and meditation? And the answer is absolutely, that's what it was. Time after time, David reduced his fearful, anxious moments through prayer to the one who created all things, to who knows all things, who has the power to do anything. That's his Lord and Savior and God. Psalms 5, 3, and 4, in the morning, O Lord, he says, hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my needs in front of you, and I wait. You're not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. Evil will never be your guest. Have pity on me, O Lord, because I am weak. Heal me, O Lord, because my bones shake with fear, with terror. I am worn out from my groanings. My eyes flood my bed every night. I soak my couch with tears. My eyes blur from grief. They fail because of my enemies. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. We just need to remember that, don't we? We just need to remember that. When we have anxieties come upon us, and we all will, because we're all human, we're all made from the dust of the ground, God knows that. When we have these anxieties, we just need to think about what the Apostle Peter said. Peter said in 5, 6, and 7, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Paul said it this way. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4 and 6. So before we conclude this lesson, I'd like to tell you one more Bible story. This is a story that we're all very familiar with. It's found in Mark, the 4th chapter, starting with verse 35 through 41. But here's a little background on it as we get into the story. After a long day of teaching parables by the Sea of Galilee, it was at evening, Jesus says to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? No doubt Jesus was exhausted from his long day of speaking parables to the multitudes on shore as he sat in the boat for several hours. Just think about that, sitting in a boat, and the boat's probably rocking from waves that come rolling in. Did that hours upon hours, speaking to the people as they sat along the shore. Well, anyway, so they awoke Jesus. And as he awoke, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear, and they said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, with Jesus by their side at this point in their life, they did not realize just how powerful and wonderful a friend they had in their presence. But that's just exactly what he is. Isn't he powerful and isn't he wonderful? And he's our friend. Jesus had very little precious time on this earth to teach the world everything they needed to know about his Father. With not a moment to spare, everything he did was used to teach the disciples something pertaining to life and to godliness. This story that I just read here in Mark, the fourth chapter, immediately brings to my mind a nautical phrase. I'll explain it to you. When the captain of a ship wanted to continue on the same course he had chosen, regardless of the boisterous waves that may be confronting his ship, he would calmly give the instructions to the helmsman. Steady as she goes, full steam ahead. Now, I've chosen to entitle my lesson today by those same calming words. Steady as she goes, full steam ahead. The purpose of this lesson today is to remind us that we are not to be anxious about anything. When anxious moments arise, we have a Heavenly Father who is only a prayer away. When rough waters appear, one who keeps a steady course of faithfulness will not be disappointed. All things work together for good to those who practice righteousness and continually demonstrate their love for the Lord. The Sea of Galilee, a beautiful place when it's calm, but we all know that the Sea of Galilee is noted for violent storms that suddenly and with very little warning popped up. Now, as you think about the Sea of Galilee, aren't the characteristics of that sea a perfect analogy for life? Absolutely they are, aren't they? That's the way life goes. Sometimes it's so calm and it's so beautiful and it's so wonderful, and then out of nowhere a storm arises. How do you handle it? The influence of Satan on the world is waxing worse, and we know that from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come time of difficulty. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. What an important thing to do, isn't it? Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus said, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's in Matthew, the sixth chapter, verse 34. We must trust him. We must believe in him. And know with a resolved certainty that God cares for you and will take care of you just like he did yesterday, just like he will do it today, and just like he will do it tomorrow. God will take care of you. Now, I know sometimes we have our own notions as how he should do that, but it doesn't work out that way. God doesn't think like we think. He's so much far above and beyond us. And he doesn't have to do the way we think. Because he is God. He's a sovereign God. Now, when false prophets were feeding lies to the Israelites who were in captivity in Babylon, Jeremiah wrote a letter to them. And this is what he said in part of that letter. For thus saith the Lord, when 7 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Isaiah 49:15, this is the last verse I'm going to give you. This is what the Lord said. He says, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. We got a lot of mothers sitting out here, and I'm sure you understand this verse very clearly, don't you? There's not a mother around here that I know that wouldn't give their life to save their child. Well, that's my lesson. Nothing new to most of us, I'm sure, but a lesson to encourage us to keep on keeping on remembering how great a Heavenly Father we have who is there for us through thick and thin. They're there for us when we're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, aren't we? How wonderfully blessed are we with a loving Savior who sacrificed his life to redeem our soul from the wages of sin and death. And we also remember how wonderful it is to have the Spirit to help express to God what we struggle to say as we pray to the Almighty. Now, we never know the hearts and minds of anyone here. But if you're contemplating the thought of accepting Christ's plan of salvation and entering his kingdom, or maybe you have an issue of life you need to help with, we invite you to privately speak with anyone of us after the service, and we'll be glad to help guide you through that process. Of course, if you have an overwhelming desire today to confess your belief in Jesus as being the Son of God, to confess your desire to repent of your past sinfulness, and you desire to be baptized in his name so your sins may be forgiven, we out of tradition, we sing a closing number that invites people to do that very thing. So if you have this overwhelming desire right now to do that, we invite you to come up here as we stand and sing this number that we selected.
644.